Let us turn again to God's Word and read in the book of Ruth and chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1, and we can read from verse 1 to verse 6. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. And so on. The Lord helping us, let us look at the last few words of the last verse that we just read, verse 6. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. The book of Ruth is a story not of a great conquest of a kingdom. It is not the story of a noble victory over an atrocious enemy, as we read about in the book of Judges. But rather it is a story of the providential circumstances of Naomi, her afflictions, as well as her blessings, and of a young woman of Moab named Ruth, who turned to the true God and became an ancestor of the Savior. Who wrote the book of Ruth? Well, it would seem that likely it would be Samuel, as he was likely the author of the book of Judges. The ancient Jewish collection of books called the Jewish Canon, the collection of books of the Old Testament, they appended the book of Ruth to the book of Judges. And as Samuel was likely the author of the book of Judges, he likely was the one who, by inspiration of the Spirit, wrote the book of Ruth. Well, we read that this story took place, these events took place in the time of the judges. As the book begins with these words, when the judges ruled. Though we cannot give an exact date of the time in which Ruth lived, she did live during that 300 or 400 year period of the judges. Perhaps about 1300 BC. Well, it was a time of unrest when the people were tempted to idolatry and then suffered from pestilence or famine or periods of onslaught from the surrounding nations when there were raids, and they would attack the people and help themselves to the crops. But that was because of sin, because of the backsliding of the people. They brought evil upon themselves. But the Lord is merciful, and he granted deliverance time and time again by the help of the judges that he appointed. Well, during the time of one famine, a man named Elimelech left the people of Israel and departed and went to sojourn and reside in the country of Moab, in a heathen land. He left his own land because of the famine and stayed in Moab for a time. It doesn't seem that the famine reached Moab. It was not a permanent situation. Well, we can ask briefly what Elimelech means. Of course, if you separate the words, Melech means king, Eli means my God. So, Eli Melech or Elimelech means my God is king. Naomi means fair or pleasant. Naomi is the wife of Elimelech. Well, we read that Naomi went into Moab full. In verse 21, she says, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. And she wanted to be called Mara, which means bitter, because the Lord, she said, dealt very bitterly with her. And even when they had lived in the place of Bethlehem, Judah, which means, of course, house of bread, even though they lived in a place that was called the house of bread, yet they experienced famine. And we are reminded that a fruitful land, because of sin, can be turned into barrenness. But Naomi and her husband and the two sons went into Moab, of all places, to get deliverance from the famine. And they were, it seems, well to do. They went out of Bethlehem full, probably bringing their belongings and money perhaps with them. But things went wrong in Moab. She lost her husband. She lost her two sons. So she comes back later on empty and had experienced bitterness. Well, we can just ask briefly, was it right for Elimelech to depart from Israel and reside in Moab for a time? Well, Matthew Henry, just picking up from a few points that he made, though it is true that Abraham and Isaac at times went into Egypt because of famine, yet that was an earlier stage of Israel. Even when you think about the children of Israel going into Egypt for such a long time during the famine, and Joseph was there, of course, and they were able to receive bread from him. Yet that was an earlier stage, and the nation wasn't fully developed. But now we're thinking of a period of time in Israel's history when the tabernacle was established, the ceremonial worship, and God's name was proclaimed in Israel. And now Elimelech leaves with his family into Moab, a heathen land. Another reason that it seems it was not right for Elimelech to depart from Moab was that others had not left, and the famine was not as bad, probably, as we might have thought. And if Elimelech had done very poorly, he could have received help from his brethren. Provision was made in the Old Testament for that. We can notice Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 35. And if thy brother be waxen poor and fallen in decay with thee, then thou shalt relieve him, yea, though he be a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with thee. So help was provided for those who were poor. And so, therefore, perhaps it was more along the lines of discontent and impatience that induced Elimelech, perhaps, to depart from Israel and to go into the land of Moab, not ready to suffer a little in order to remain in the place where the name of God was revealed. Somebody might say, well, if it was not for the case that, if it were not for the fact that Elimelech went into Moab, then Ruth would never have been brought into Israel. Well, of course, as you know, that's taking the line or the approach, let us do evil that good may come. Well, we know that the Lord is able to bring good out of evil, but it is not for us to go into evil for that to take place. That would be to tempt God. Rather, we know that God is sovereign and He can bring His people, His elect, from all quarters of the earth according to His own will. The Lord Jesus, as we read in John chapter 6, said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." All of His people will come to Him wherever they are. It is not for us to use means that are unlawful in order to reach out to others and to go contrary, for example, to the regulative principle, just to bring others into the church. That would be wrong, of course. Well, once again, our love for the truth should make us reluctant to remove and go to depart into another place where the Word of God is not heard. If God has given us the means of grace, we will be very hesitant to leave and go to another place where the means of grace is not enjoyed. Well, then we find also that the sons of Naomi married Moabitish women who do not seem to be proselytes. It doesn't seem that they really converted to the true religion. And such marriages were prohibited by the law of Moses. We don't have to quote it, but just Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 3, for example. Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 3 prohibits marriages with the heathen. And this is a reminder to us that the godly should not intermarry with the ungodly. We must not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You might think, well, I might be able to do good for my future spouse. If I marry somebody from the world, I will just bring them over into the church and I can do them good and maybe they will be converted. That may have been the intention of some, but very often we see that things go exactly opposite, and it is easier to bring somebody down into the world than to bring that person from the world into the true religion. Remember the case of Solomon, King Solomon, who married heathen women, and they tempted him to build temples for their idols and things of that nature. Unlawful union was the means of seducing him into heathenism, or at least going in that direction, back into the world, back into false religion. So these are what we find in the book of Ruth are lessons, many, many lessons to learn about how to live our lives and also the way in which the Lord deals with His people in providence. Sadly for Naomi, she lost both her husband and her two sons. And yet we see that she was willing and ready to serve the Lord in spite of all her affliction. And when she heard that the Lord had visited His people with bread, she didn't stay a moment longer in Moab. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited His people in giving them bread. To her credit, when she heard that the famine had ceased, that there was bread available in abundance, she waited no longer in Moab, but she was ready to return. And of course, she was ready to continue on to serve the God of Israel. Yes, she felt that the Lord had dealt with her very bitterly, but she was prepared to persevere, like Job, who said in Job chapter 13 and verse 15, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Is that our attitude? whatever afflictions we encounter, whatever the Lord is pleased to bring upon me, though He deal with me hardly, roughly, and things go wrong around me, though He slay me, I'm at the point of dying, yet I will trust in Him. I have nowhere else to go. I must trust in Him. Well, the Lord had visited His people with bread. We read that they were 10 years in the land of Moab. Perhaps that means that the famine lasted for 10 years. That seems long enough. But after that period of time, the Lord visited His people with bread. He will not always chide. He loves His people. And if a father will give bread to his children when they ask him, and he will not give them a stone, he will give them good things, how much more will the Father in heaven give bread, spiritual bread, spiritual nourishment to His people? As the Lord Jesus said, "My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." Well, if we can reflect a bit and think to ourselves, if the Lord has visited us with bread from heaven, should we not be thankful? The Lord has, as it were, visited us with bread during the communion season. And as we heard on the Monday of the communion, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. How thankful we should be that the Lord in this congregation has visited His people in giving them bread. So we should reflect upon this and seek to cleave to the Lord like Naomi and Ruth. And Ruth said to Naomi these well-known words that are full of meaning: "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest I will go, and where thou lodgest I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." We need to remember the words of Barnabas, or his exhortation. He exhorted the people that they should cleave to the Lord with purpose of heart. So we are directed to persevere, press on. The Lord has visited us with bread in the sacrament of His body and blood. It is a means of spiritual nourishment, and therefore we should seek grace to persevere and to be saying with Ruth, "Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." We should seek to benefit from the means of grace, from the word that we have heard, the sacrament that has been administered, and not be like the children of Israel who did not profit from the word that was preached. There was a promise to them of entering into rest. They came short of it. They did not enter into the land of Canaan. And why? Oh, you say they weren't strong enough. Their spears, they needed more time to go to the smith and have the spears welded together in the shields, and they just weren't trained properly. No, they did not enter in to the land of Canaan. Why? Because of unbelief. And that's what we need to remember. The reason why people fail spiritually is because of unbelief. The cause of spiritual failure, the cause of remaining lost and not going into heaven, from that point of view, is unbelief. The Lord Jesus said, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on the one whom He hath sent." Can you not see very clearly that that is what the Lord tells us to bring before our minds? What is our plain duty? He gives an explanation about Why sinners don't come? Well, that's because they need the drawing power of the Father. But it's another thing to say why they are not saved, and that's because they don't believe. What is brought before us is our immediate duty to believe in Christ. Yes, we need the power of the Spirit, so let us pray that the Spirit would work. But we have to focus on this. It is our duty to believe. This is the work of God, that ye believe on the one whom he hath sent. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Well, perhaps there is someone who looked on and saw the sacrament administered, the bread was broken, the wine in the cup was received, and you have seen that the Lord has visited his people in giving them bread. And like Naomi and Ruth, it's as if you're in a foreign land. You're looking on from the outside. But you're hearing the good news. You're seeing the good news before your eyes. The bread broken and received into the mouth of the communicants. The wine is in the cup is received. The Lord is visiting his people and giving them bread. The Christ crucified in the symbols is evidently set forth among us. Perhaps you have felt excluded. But how this fact, the Lord visiting his people and giving them bread, how it should draw you to seek that same spiritual nourishment for yourself. So we should be recognizing that the Lord visits his people with bread, and you are not excluded from this. In the free offer of the gospel, you say the Lord visits his people in giving them bread. Well, that means if I'm not one of his people, this bread is not for me. That is a false conclusion. This bread is for you. The Lord Jesus said to the Jews, "My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." And when we think about the Lord's people, we can ask, were they always the Lord's people? No, they weren't. When did they begin to be the Lord's people? When they began to feed upon the spiritual bread that was offered to them freely. And is it not offered to you freely? Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Don't bring a price in your hand. The price has been paid, and it is offered to you freely. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. Even the true bread from heaven, freely. Come and dine, receive and rest upon Christ for salvation. Take to yourself that which is good for your soul, that which will enable you to live, that which will give you eternal life. Christ and him crucified. Look to the Savior. Pray, Lord, evermore, give us this bread. If the Lord visits his people with bread, if the Lord offers himself freely to me in the gospel, Lord, evermore, give me this bread. Give me a mouth to receive this bread. Give me an appetite for this bread. Because if I don't have this bread, I don't have life in me. The Savior said, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Friend, do you care about the salvation of your soul? Then pray to God to give you a mouth to receive him. Look to the Savior. Take to yourself Christ who was crucified. Look to the Savior who was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, who was tried by the Jewish leaders, who was mocked and spat upon, who gave himself to the smiters, whose body was broken. He was pierced in his hands and his feet, just as the veil in the temple was rent. His flesh was rent. His body was broken. This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. As Moses said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And when he says he will give it for the life of the world, he means he will give it over to be broken. Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Take and eat. Partake of the broken body and shed blood of Christ spiritually. My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Well, we cannot live without this bread. We cannot be saved without the blood of Christ being shed. We cannot persevere without going again and again to Christ who was crucified. So let us be thankful for the ordinances of his house, the sacrament that has been administered in this place, and all the means of grace. Let us not neglect the means of grace, as it seems Elimelech and his family were doing. Let us prize the ordinances, prize the sacrament, and be examining ourselves as to whether we discern the Lord's body, and if we, whatever our condition is, let us ask the Lord to make things plain to us, give us an appetite, and prize the means of grace, because the Lord visits his people with bread in the gospel, in the ordinances, in the sacrament, and all for their good. How can we live without Christ? How could we desire to live without Christ? May he be to all of us all our salvation and all our desire, when we know that the Lord has visited his people in giving them bread. May he bless his word. And Mr. Campbell, would you pray?